Good morning. Today's daf in Nazir Nun Zayin. We are in the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Vav Amud Beis. We're finishing up today the seventh parak of the Masechta. And obviously beginning the eighth, we are starting with the final Mishnah of the parak. We spent a lot of time in this parak talking about Tumas Ohel as it relates to a Nazir. In this parak, we learned two fundamental Mishnayos, one on Mem Tes and the other one Nandalin. Okay, so to try to commit to memory this perek, so really it's encapsulated in the fact that there are two categories of Tumas Mesa as it relates to a Nazir. Category number one, right, I gave it a term yesterday. It's my own original term. I will take full credit and also full blame. And that's what's called level A. So level A of Tumas Mesa when it comes to a Nazir, that's the level A of Tumah is where Nazir is going to be Megaleach. And then, of course, there's level B. Level B is where the Nazir is not going to be Megaleach. And what falls under the category of level A versus what's on the category of level B. So that's the Mishnayos that we have to really go over again and again. In other words, level A Tumah, so those are all the cases that are discussed and described on Mem Tes. And then level B Tumah, so those are all the cases that are described in the Mishnah on Nun Dalet. Okay, so 49:54, just keep saying it, keep repeating it, and keep going over the Mishnayos. Okay, now, yesterday we made a suggestion that maybe the cases on Daf Nun Dalet are all cases Midrabanan. A little bit hard to argue, but we tried to argue that yesterday. The Gemara doesn't say that. Let's just be clear. But there is certainly something categorically different between the cases on Mem Tes versus the cases on Nandalid. And then, of course, it requires articulation what exactly the differences are. But meanwhile, that is, in fact, the halacha. And what we learned in yesterday's daf is that not only does it have a nafkamina regarding a nazir, whether he's megalech or not megalech, and oh, by the way, megalech doesn't just simply mean shave. Megalech means reboot. It means that you're going to have to start again anew. You're going to have to start from one. Whatever number you were up to, it doesn't matter. If you, the Nazir, were Tami, Tumas, Mace, level A, category A, so then you're going to go all the way back to the beginning, you're going to start again. On the other hand, if it's just level B, so all that means is now is that it's a suspension. While you're tending to your Tuma, so you're going to be now just on hiatus from your counting, but You haven't lost the days that you counted before. You just simply are in rain delay. You finish, you tend to your tuma, and then what you do is that once you resume, you're going to resume your count from wherever you were. Good. So that is one nafkamina. The other nafkamina, which we spoke out in yesterday's daf, is bias hamikdash. When is a person going to be chayef kares when being metamit tumas mace and going into the base of mikdash? And I'm not sure if I made this clear yesterday, but as long as we're here, as long as we're discussing. So let's just say it out. If you're metamit tumas mace, so which part of the base of mikdash you're not allowed to go into? Machne shchina. Meaning as tumas mace, you can go into machne yisrael, you can go into machne levia. Remember the Gemara makes this point numerous times throughout Shas. And that is that a mace themselves can go into the mace can't go anywhere, but the mace themselves can go into Machne Levia. Remember, Moshe took Atzmos Yosef and brought him into his home. And obviously Moshe lived in Machne Levia. So that is not a problem. That's not Asar at all. The Isar is only in Machne Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash. That would be the Azara. So what you can't do with Tumas Maces, you can't go into the Azara. Good. So when are you subject to Isser Kares by violating Bias Mikdash by going into the Azara while in a state of Tuma? That's only when you're level A. But when you're level B, you're not subject to the Isser Kares. I wondered yesterday, is there any Isser whatsoever? Maybe it's an Isser Darabanan. Maybe it's an Isser Daraisa without an Onish of Kares. I don't know. Okay. But nevertheless, though, there is a clear distinction between being Tuma level A versus level B. Vis-a-vis the Isser Bias HaMikdash. Right. That is a synopsis of basically the seventh parak of the Masechta. So we're going to conclude on a somewhat strange note over here with this last Mishnah where Rabbi Akiva says, I'd like to argue. Now the argument that he's going to make is a false argument, meaning the argument itself is good, but it just simply is going to arrive at a conclusion that is just simply not an accepted conclusion. And so let's see the Mishnah together inside. I'm a Rabbi Akiva. And Dante Lifnei Rabbi Eliezer. So I now try to argue the following in front of Rabbi Eliezer. Ma. So let's say you have a bone chip and it's the size of a sora, and I know it's not metamei tumah sora. However, if a nazir were to either touch it or to carry it, mago masa, so then the nazir is megaleach. The nazir puts his nazirus. So revi is damshu metamei adam baol ena din shi a nazir megaleach amagav amaso. So I don't understand. So now if you have revi is dam. So revi is dam, which is metamei tumah sora. So it doesn't it make sense? Shouldn't it make sense that if the nazir were to either touch it or to carry it, so the nazir would have to be megaleach, meaning if etzem kisaora, which doesn't even give off to masohel, if that is metame b'magav amasa, so shouldn't we say the same thing regarding revias adam? Revias adam, which is metame tamas ohel. Now, mind you, by the way, revias adam falls where? On memtes or nundalit? So revias adam falls on nundalit. It's in category B, vis-a-vis ohel, tamas ohel. But Rabbi Akiva now wants to argue, but if I were to touch it, meaning the Nazir, if the Nazir were to touch it, or the Nazir were to carry it, so shouldn't he now be Megaleach? Meaning, can we make the argument, Etzem Kisor is Megaleach? So therefore, Revi Azdam should also be Megaleach. So Amar Li, Mazze Akiva ain't done in Kadmi Kavachomer. So Rabbi Elazar says, okay, I'm sorry, we just don't make such a Kavachomer. Meaning, it was a really good try, but we don't do so. Gemara is going to try to clarify what exactly the rejection was. And Rabbi Yeshua says, look, the argument is wonderful, but in other words, what you're butting heads against is the halacha, meaning this is halacha Moshe Misinai. And as a result of that, so you are not allowed to make the kavachomer. So Rabbi Kiva tried to make a kavachomer, and both with Rabbi Eliezer and with Rabbi Yeshua, so they just simply rejected. They rejected his kavachomer. On what basis? So that's the Gemara. So the Gemara on the top of Nazayin Amid Aleph. Ibailu etzem kisara alacha v'reviyas dan kavachomer v'ein dan kavachomer me'alacha. Odom, reviyas dan alacha v'etzem kisara kavachomer v'ein dan kavachomer me'alacha. So in terms of when Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Akiva, look, I'm really sorry, but halacha. What was he describing? And as Tosfos points out over here, we're looking at the top Tosfos in Nazayin Amid Aleph. So the mikra lo asik dechsev al kol nafshos meis lo yavo midid demetame bibia. So on one hand, we could say that that we're discussing over here is the etzem kisaora, that when a nazir touches it, he's megaleach. It could very well be that that's not in the pasuk itself. Why is that? Why is that not in the pasuk? Because when the Torah describes a nazir and him coming into contact with tumas meis, the Torah's description is only ohel. Oh. And so therefore, the fact that the Nazir has to reboot Nazir is when he touches Etzem Kisora, so that is the Halach L'Moshe Misinai. And Revi Azdam, by Le'agmur, Aminei Mekavachomer. And you want to learn out Revi Azdam via Kavachomer, that you're not allowed to do. So one possibility of where the failure of Rabbi Akiva lies is in the fact that Etzem Kisora itself is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. The fact that the Nazir has to be Megaleach. Because in the psukim by Nazir, it only focuses on Ohel. That's one possibility. The other possibility explains Tosfos of Domus Revi Azdam Alacha. Mashu Metame Ba'Ohel. Or maybe just by the simple fact that a Revi Azdam is Metame Ba'Ohel. Meaning, where in the Torah does it describe Revi Azdam being Metame Ba'Ohel? The answer, of course, is it doesn't. And what maybe the argument over here is that's Halacha. The Leislahu Nafshos Meis Revi Azdam Da'adur Abba Mashman Dam Chatilog. Okay. The Torah says nafshos meis. Nafshos meis is a description of two. We assume that the blood constituting the life force of a single individual is a revius, but a revius times two is a chatzilog. And maybe min ha-Torah, the only thing we could see in the Torah is chatzilog. And the fact that a revius log dam is metame ba'oel, that's Allah l'moshe misinai. And now you want to learn from Etzem Kisora to Revi Azdam, where Revi Azdam is the Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Okay, so basically, I know this part's a little bit confusing, but Rabbi Akiva is trying to make an argument, and they say to Rabbi Akiva, you can't make an argument because one of those points is not a Beferish Pasuk, but rather Halach L'Moshe Misinai. And all the Gemara right now is trying to clarify is which of those two points is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Okay, and the Gemara says, okay, good, that's a question, as explained by Tosos. And the Gemara says, Tashma, Etzem Kisara Alachu Revi Azdam Kavachomer, Vein Dan Kavachomer Me Alacha. Okay, so but we have a brisa, and the brisa says that the etzem kisaora, again, a bone chip gives off tumas oel. That we know. The fact that it gives off tumas oel, where the nazir has to reboot his nazirus, so that is halach l'moshe misina. Meaning that in the psukim are not clear. When I go to nazir, when I go to the psukim by nazir, it's not clear that maga masa of the etzem kisaora is going to require him to reboot his nazirus. That part is not evident in the pasuk itself. That is, in fact, a halach l'moshe misinai. And therefore, when Rabbi Kiva now is trying to develop a kal v'chomer, he's doing so, but with the starting point being, halach l'moshe misinai, you can't do that. Okay. Which, by the way, in other words, one of the assumptions that this Gemara is making is that underlying every kal v'chomer is that it has to be in the pasuk. Right? In other words, kal v'chomers can only be generated by something which is explicit in the Torah. Meaning, obviously, halach l'moshe misinai is just as much a din d'oraisa as a pasuk in the Torah, right? The sukkah, right? What's a kosher sukkah? So your three walls. No, you don't need three walls. In other words, you need two walls, and that third wall only needs to be a tefach. See the first parak for more details on that. Mm-hmm. So in other words, so that sukkah is just as kosher as any other sukkah, right? There's not going to be a distinction between a three-wall sukkah and a sukkah with only the third wall being a tefach. Meaning, it's halach l'moshe misinai is just as strong. I understand in terms of punishments, there may be differences, but it's just as strong. And it's interesting that what the Gemara over here is assuming, in other words, the underlying supposition of the Gemara, is that you can't make a kal v'chomer if your starting point is halach l'moshe misinai. It has to start with the pasuk.
I just want that clear. Isn't automatically something that's metama b'oil is automatically metama b'magir
u'masu, no? Well, again, the
oil is stronger than...
The issue over here is not tumah. The issue over here is whether or not the nazir is megaleach. Because the nazir being megaleach is not going to just simply be a question of whether he's metamei tumas oel, because we know there are two categories.
But why is a quarter log of blood not metamei b'magav v'masa?
It is metamei b'magav v'masa. That's not open to discussion. What is open to discussion is whether or not the nazir is megaleach.
On the
Megaleach. Yeah, correct. Okay, Hajjan Lachman Gadol, and so ends the seventh parak. Okay, so that seventh parak, I admit, was hard. It was definitely a challenging parak here in Shas, and certainly Masechet Nazir. But it's good. It really it acquaints us better with the halachas regarding Tumas Meis, and let's go forward. Here we are now in the eighth parak of the Masechta, and what we're going to be starting off now is a series of cases of Sfeikos. Okay, I'd like to say it's going to get easier, not for the eighth parak of Nazir. Okay, so, but it's fine. And what we're going to be discussing now is a number of cases of Sfeikos, Daf Nun Tes, which is not today's Daf. So, we'll have a moment to breathe and pause. But Daf Nun Tes is going to be a real challenge, but we already know what's coming up. In other words, the person's a Sfeik, he's a Nazir, and he's a Sfeik Mitzora, and he's a Sfeik Tumas Meis, and how exactly does he resolve all that Sfeikos? And that's the 6100 Gemara. And if you know what I'm talking about, great, and if not, come back again, 2 days. And meanwhile, however, we have today's Daf, and we're going to be opening up the eighth parak of the Masechta with the following Sfeik. It's a pretty straightforward Sfeik. Shnei Nazirim Sharmalai Mecha Reiti Echa Mikem Shinit Mavini Odei Eze Mikem. So you have two Nazirim, and they're both Nazirs. That part is not even open to a suffix. But what happened was that Tumah landed on one of the two as reported by an individual. Now, where is that individual located right now? That's a wonderful question. Hold that question. We're going to come back and orient exactly where that third person is. That's an important question. You'll see why in just a moment. But meanwhile, and what are their responses, by the way? Tosu says that they're just simply quiet. In other words, they're not protesting. They're not denying it. Okay. So the viewer is simply saying that one of the two of you was exposed to Tumas Meis. I don't know which one. So I saw the exposure. I just don't know which one of you is now Metamei Tumas Meis. So obviously now we have a problem. We have two Nazirim and they both would like to conclude their Nazirus. One has two steps of what to do and the other one has only but one step what to do. One of them has to first go through the round of being a Nazir Tamei. Right, going through the Tara process and bringing Karbanos at the end, and then and only then start his Nazirus, count his Nazirus anew, and then at the conclusion bring Karbanos for the conclusion of his Nazirus. And the other one only but has to conclude his Naziris. So what do you do? So the Mishnah says, I'll give you very clear step-by-step instructions of what to do. So Megalchon Umevi and Karban Tumah, the Karban Tahara. So what they're going to do now on round one. Round one is going to be the end of the first 30 days. So at the end of round one, so they're both going to be Megaleach, and they're both going to bring Karbanos. One of them is going to bring a set of Karban. Well, they're collectively going to be bringing two sets of Karbanos. One set is going to be a Karban Tumah, and the other one is a Karban Tahara. Please remember, the sets of Karbanos for the Karban Tumah and the Karban Tahara are not the same. I'm not going to go over each of the Karbanos right now, but they're not the same. And Va'omer Imani Hutameh. So Karban Tumah Shali, the Karban Tahara Shalcha, Imani Hutar, Karban Tahara Shali, the Karban Tahara Shalcha. And they'll just simply bring the Karbanos out tonight. And they'll just simply say, look, you know who these Karbanos are going to be good for? Whoever needs them. I may be the Tumah, you may be the Tahor. So I'll take the Karbanos for the Tumah, and you'll get the Karbanos for the Tahor. And if the reverse, so then we reverse the designation of the Karbanos. V'sofrim shloshim yom avin Karban Tahara. Now we go to round two. Now by round two, so one of them has successfully concluded his Naziris and the other one has not. So here in round two, how many sets of Karbanos are we going to bring? One set of Karbanos. And specifically for a Nazir Tahor. And now, the Omer. So over here now, the Tanai is very simple. Emani wa tamei Karban Tumah Shali, v'Karban Tahara Shalcha, v'zeh Karban Tahara Si. V'emani hu atar v'Karban Tahara Shali, v'Karban Tumah Shalcha, v'zeh Karban Tahara Scha. Whoever needs this set of Karban is now going to be applied to the person of need. Simple. Okay? So over here in our first case in today's daf, so it's an extraordinarily simple, extraordinarily. I want to take that word back. Okay? But it's a relatively simple case of Safek. I have two Nazirim. Because of the testimony provided by an outsider, one of them is Tameh. We don't know which one of them is Tameh. And now it's just a question of how to successfully bring their Karbanos, both at the end of the first 30 days and the end of the second 30 days. So far, so good. Katani shnei nazirim sha'amar lam ra'iti echa mekem shenit ma v'yenei deyaz mekem v'yamai kol safik tomer b'risho siyachim me'echa yafin alay misota ma'asota bol v'nivalas af kol safik tomer b'risho siyachim kegon di'ika b'itrei ava hacha shnei nazirim v'hai dikai gabayun ha'tlasa ha'vilei safik tomer b'risho sarabim v'chol safik tomer b'risho sarabim sveiko tahor. Reading Gemara is easy. But now we get to the explaining of the Gemara. But the explanation over here is really simple. Okay, and I know I read a lot, but in terms of explanation, what's our next Masechta going to be? It's going to be Sota. We're going to hear this rule time and again. And that is I wanted to get to three as a crowd. Right? Two is company. Right? Two is company, three is a crowd. Okay. In the halacha, so when there's a suffix of tumah and it involves two people, maximum two people, so then that's what's called rishus hayachid. Please do not get confused between the terminology of rishus hayachid vis-a-vis Shabbos and vis-a-vis our discussion of suffix and tumah. And when you have anything above the number two, that would be three and above. So that is what's called the rishus ha-rabim. Okay. Now, what do we learn? The starting point is going to be from Sota. What happened was is that a man and a woman, and this is not her husband. She's married, but this is not her husband. So a man and a woman seclude themselves in a room together. We do not know what happened in that room together. So the halacha is that she is now a sota. Now, mind you, by the way, when we use the word sota, we could be using it in one of two contexts. One is where we definitively know that she committed adultery, and that is a sota vadai. The one that we're more used to hearing about, and the one the Torah describes is a sota safek. But it's confusing, but I'm gonna make this as clear as possible. A sota safek just simply means that we do not know what happened in that room. Now there is a better than good guess that it wasn't good. In other words, most probably what happened is that she committed adultery in that room, but we do not know. But because it was just the two of them alone in the room, and by the way, I'm oversimplifying because there's more to it than that. The story also involves where he warned his wife not to be with her. That's what's called kinui, and then on top of that, there's also a stira. And all this we're going to be discussing in detail in the beginning of the Masechta of Sota. That's the next Masechta we're learning together in Yirtzeh Hashem. So, but the point is that we do not know what happened in that room, but because now it was just the two of them alone, that's now a Safik Tumah B'Rishut Sayachid. She now is a Sota. Now I know that she goes to the base of Mikdash and she drinks the water, and the water will determine exactly what happened in that room. But for our purpose right now, that's not the critical point. What is the critical point? She's usher to her husband. From that point going forward, she is usher to her husband. Now, yes, in fact, if in fact she goes to the base of Mitzvah and she drinks the water and she doesn't explode, so then that will create shalom bias between her and her husband. She will then be allowed to go back to her husband. But until that point in time, she is usher to her husband. From there, now obviously that's not Tuma Tahara, that's adultery. But from there, because the Torah uses and employs the word Tuma in the Parsha of Sota, we take that and we bring it to the world of Tuma. Therefore, Safek Tuma Bereshus HaYachid, Sveiko Tame. Safek Tuma Bereshus HaRabim, Sveiko Tahor. Okay, those are the ABCs. Now that you know that, so our Gemara now is asking a fantastic question. There are two Nazirim, one of them possibly become Tamei, I don't know. And there's a third person there because he's the one reporting. So let's do our math. So there are two Nazirim, there's a third person who's reporting, so that now makes for three people. So if I'm asking the question, I don't know who became Tamei. Is this a Rishus HaYachid or is this a Rishus HaRabim? I know the numbers. Two is a Rishus HaYachid. Three is a Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara over here asks fantastically. So now that I have three people over here, this is a Rishus HaRabim, this is a Safek Tuma, B'Rishus HaRabim, so you know who should be Tameh? Nobody. Good, that's the Gemara's question. So the Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna Ba'omer Isi Tuma Shenizrika B'Nechem. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna says, fine. So you know what we're going to do over here? We're going to contextualize. And that is that the case over here, it's in the Kimta in the Mishnah, is that the person who's reporting was nowhere near them. He was from a distance. And because he was from a distance, we don't count the group as three, we count the group as two. And even though obviously there's a third person reporting, but because he's situated so far away, so therefore it's not a group of three, it's considered a group of two, and the reporter is reporting, but from a distant viewpoint. Okay. We have resolved the issue. Now it is a Rishus HaYachid and therefore issue resolved. And Tosfos says, I don't know if the issue is resolved. Tosfos over here asks the following question, and that is that now that we move the number from three to two, what do we know about Safek Tumah Rishus HaYachid? Safek Tumah Rishus HaYachid Sveiko Tameh. And so what Tosfos over here asks, it's such a good question, is that even now, as we move the numbers from three down to two, so what should we say about each one of the people? In other words, each one of them should definitively be Tameh. Meaning the Mishnah says, well, now we don't know, and now we're going to have to bring the Karbanos in a state of Safek. That's not the rule. The rule is Safek Tumah Bereshus HaYachid Sveiko Tameh. Each one of them now should be Tameh. Okay. That's a really strong question. Tosfos gives an answer. See Tosfos over here. It's the bottom Tosfos over here. Who proposes answers to how it is, why it is, that we don't just simply conclude that each one of them is Tameh, but rather we remain in the state of Safek. And therefore the Karbanos that are brought is assuming that neither of them is definitively Tameh, but collectively the two of them are Tameh, and now it's just a question of how to bring the Karbanos. Okay. I'm Rav Ashi Dekanami Diktani, and Rav Ashi says, I'll tell you what, this answer that we gave, it's actually a really good answer, that the third person was at a distance. In fact, once you go back to the Mishnah, read the Mishnah, you're going to read it really well in the Mishnah. Diktani v'eini yodei zemekem shma mina. And he says, eini yodei, I don't know which one of you. Meaning, if he was right there front and center, got front row seats of one of them becoming Tameh, he would have also known which one of them became Tameh. In other words, by virtue of the fact that, look, I did not have front row seats. I was all the way in the nosebleed section. And I only saw from there, I know one of you became Tameh, but I can't tell you what happened specifically. Okay. So it's Meduk in the Mishnah that this is in fact correct. Okay. So where are we right now? So we are focusing on the Mishnah's case where I have two Nazirim, one of them became Tameh, and therefore the Mishnah is solving for how do we bring Karbanos? Because one of them has to bring two sets of Karbanos, one of them only has to bring one set of Karbanos, then the Mishnah is focusing on the fact that lots of Karbanos need to be brought, and how do we do it? The Gemara's first question is that if there are three people there, the two Nazirim and the one reporting, So then that should be a Rishos HaRabim, and Safik Tomer Rishos HaRabim, Sveiko Tahor. So how is it not a case of Rishos HaRabim? We gave an answer. That the person reporting is not front row seats, but he's all the way in the bleachers. Okay. That is number one, step number one of today's daf. Step number two of today's daf. We're on Zayin Amud Beis, and one more topic for today, a really interesting one, one that's very practical, halach l'maisa. So the Megachin u'Mevi'in. So now you recall that what they're going to be doing is, they're going to be doing geluach, they're going to be shaving their head. As we've been discussing time and again throughout this Masechta, so the Nazir is going to be doing something which we normally are not allowed to do. You take a razor and you shave your head. Now, when I say shave your head for the Nazir, I mean the head and the face. Okay. Under normal circumstances, you cannot take a razor, you cannot shave your head, you cannot shave your face. Shaving your face, that's the iser of tashkitu. One is not allowed to destroy the hairs on their face. Okay. Now, that's only with a razor. What you're allowed to do with the hair on your face is you're allowed to cut it with scissors. Okay. A shaver has a scissor action. Okay, that's okay. Important discussion, but I'll leave it there. When it comes to your head, the problem isn't so much the head, it's the corners of the head. This is the iser of bal takifu. What you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to round the corners of your head, cutting off the sideburns. Basically now creating almost like a bowl haircut. That's the iser in the Torah of takifu. The word takifu hekef means to create a circular pattern around your head. And so therefore, and by the way, this is not only going to be limited to a razor, this would be true by razors, even by scissors as well. So that means to say, even with a shaver, even with scissor action, so you're not allowed to cut the sideburns. Okay. Oh, correct. Right. And the age-old term to describe the priest would be a galach, and the word galach comes from the word megaleach. In other words, that's what they did. In other words, they rounded off the sideburns, and they got this black bowl haircut. Okay. So with all that stated, so now what the Nazir is going to be doing is, this Nazir is going to be in violation of two Isurim, but of course he's not in violation of two Isurim, because the Torah says, over here for the Nazir, do it. In other words, this is a classic example of an essay being doche a los assay. The Nazir said that, look, under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to take a razor and move it to your face, into your head, but you, the Nazir, you're supposed to do so. Wonderful. Now, let's go to our mission. We have two Nazirim, and they're both Nazirs. It's just now a question of one's tummy and the other one's not. So remember, around one, what are they both going to do? They're both going to do giloch, and they're both going to bring karbanos. It just happens to be that one's bringing a karban for tuma, the other one's bringing karban for tahara, and they're going to just bring it out tonight. That's fine. And the fact that each one of them is doing giluach, that's also fine. Because one of them, they both have to do it. One because he concluded his nazir, the other one because he's a nazir tameh, who's concluding his tuma. Okay. But now move over to round two. Now in round two, one of them has concluded their Naziris and the other one is now concluding his Naziris. Okay, so you bring one set of karbanos. That part's easy. Here's the part that's not easy. They're both going to be shaving. Now wait one second. They're both going to be shaving. One has an allowance to do so and the other one does not. Because the other one already successfully concluded his Naziris by round one. So now if they're both doing Giluach on round two, so one of them is doing proper, and the other one is doing perfectly improper. There's an iser for one of them to do giluach. And so the Gemara's question over here, so simple, so good. How can both of them be doing giluach at the end of round two? Okay. V'yamai demalav metamen inun v'ka'avid akafa. Amar Shmuel b'isha v'katan. So Shmuel says, okay, I'm with you. So well, here's what we're going to have to say. What we're going to have to say is that the Mishnah is talking about a very specific case, and that is a Nazir. Under discussion is either a woman or it's a minor. Women do not have the Isser of Baal Takifu. Women do not have the Isser of Baal Tashchitu. Women can shave and women can cut off their sideburns. There is no Isser for them to do so. Now, granted, by the way, that women are bound by all the Lavan in the Torah that men are bound by, but there are notable exceptions, and this be one of them. This be two of them. The Mishnah in Kiddushin at the end of that first parak goes through the long list of lavin in the Torah that women are not bound by, and that's a list of three. And these are two of the three. Okay. For bonus points in today's daf, anyone know what the third one is? Third one is a woman kohen, a bas kohen, she can go to the cemetery. Even though that's a lav in the Torah, but a bas kohen is allowed to do so. Okay. So, hakafa and ashchata are two isurim that a woman are not bound by. So over here in our Mishnah, do you know why the Mishnah is perfectly comfortable for both of them to do a hashchata, to do a giluach? Because the Mishnah is talking about women. Alternatively, the Mishnah could be talking about a child. Now, a child being a nazir, that's a little bit strange, I know. But in other words, but as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, we can have a scenario in which a child can become a nazir. A child, obviously, is not a bar mitzvah. He's not a bar chiyuv. And so therefore, you could do giluach on the child. Okay. Now, you'll notice, says the Gemara, that I'll tell you what answer was not given in the Mishnah. V'lukman begadav ha'kafas kol arosh, lo shma ha'kafa. Now, you know what the Gemara didn't say. The Gemara didn't say, well, maybe the Isser in the Torah of Hakafa is not taking off your sideburns, leaving the rest of your hair. But what if you go, right, most of you will understand the reference, but what if you go Michael Jordan? What if you shave your whole head? And credit to MJ for making it cool. But what if you do that? Is that the Isser of the Torah? Meaning, what the Gemara is at least proposing is that the Isser of the Torah of Hakafa is only when you cut sideburns, leaving the rest of your hair. But if you cut your whole, if you shave your whole head, maybe there's no Isser over there of Hakafa, because you're not rounding off the corners. The Gemara says, "Midalam mukim lahachish mami nakasav shmol hakafas kol rosh ma hakafa." Now, do you know why Shmuel didn't give that answer? It's because he doesn't subscribe to that viewpoint. It's really simple. Shmuel says that the Isser of Hakafa is not limited to where you cut your sideburns, leaving the rest of your hair. The Isser of Hakafa would include even when you cut your entire, even when you shave your entire head, cutting off the sideburns and the rest of your hair as well. So Shmuel's of the position that it would be usser to do that. So that's why he didn't give that answer. And the only answer that he gave in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is dealing with either a woman or a minor. Marzutra masking la shmaita de Shmuel asefa. Now, Marzutra, same point by Shmuel, but going rather on a different Mishnah. Notably, the Mishnah on Nuntes. Okay. I do not want people to get too scared of that Mishnah on Nuntes. It's not so bad. It just happens to be a little bit complicated. But anyway, Nazir Shayatame Besafik Umuchlak Besafik. Ocha Bekashim Lachar Shishim Yom Megalech Dala Taglachios. Okay, so what we're describing is the person who, I'll tell you what. I'm just not going to go through the case right now. It'll expend a lot of energy and a lot of time, and we're going to just do it anyway in 2 days from now. But and by the way, we also covered it briefly a couple days ago as well. So, but the point is, however, is that there's a lot of sfeikos going on, and a number of occasions he's going to be shaving his head, but every time he shaves his head, so he might be violating an Isser. What's the allowance to do so? Hakafa. So I'm a Shmuel, b'isha v'katan. So again, Shmuel will say the same thing, that the case under review is where the woman is the Nazir. The minor is the Nazir. And that's why we're not worried regarding the Hakafa. Meaning, had it been a man, so then we have a problem. Which I'm not quite sure what the solution would be, but in other words, for the man, there would be an Isser of shaving his head. In other words, if we don't know definitively that he's in fact a Nazir. Okay. That takes us now to the end of a very basic Q&A. In our Mishnah, when we have our two Nazirim, and in round number two, one of them is no longer a Nazir, and they're both going to do Giluach, and how can that be? Because if you're not a Nazir and you're doing Giluach, you're violating an Isser with no mitzvah. So how can you do that? And the answer of the Gemara is that our Mishnah is talking about either a woman or a katan. Okay. From this point going forward now, the Gemara is going to get involved in a really important discussion. And what I'll do is the following. I'll start the Gemara, but the truth of the matter is that I really want to spend a little more time on this. So what I'll do is I'll just start it now, and tomorrow we'll discuss it in much greater detail. Amar Rav Huna. Hamakif is a katan, harehu chayev. So Rav Huna starts off with the following halachic statement. And that is that if you give a child a haircut, right, and it's a boy, if you give a child a haircut, child over here just simply means under bar mitzvah, and you do hekef, and you round off the corners of his head, so you are going to be chayef. Now you're the barber. You're the one providing the haircut. You're not the one receiving the haircut. But Rav Huna is of the position that you're in fact going to be chayev. So Amalei Rav Ada Bar Ava LaRav Huna Viditcha Man Megalech Lahun. So Rav Ada Bar Ava. Now I'm just going to insert the laughter over here because it is going to be comical. The story is not going to end off funny, but right now it's funny because just picture the scene. Rav Huna saying, you know, if you give your minor son a bowl haircut, so you're going to be chayev. And meanwhile, Rav Huna's children are walking right by, and each one of them has a bowl haircut. Oh, right. Exactly. That part's funny. So so Rav Ada Bar Ava now says, okay, nu, so your children are walking around with such a haircut, and I don't understand. Didn't you, Rav Huna, say that you're not allowed to do that? And the person who does so is going to be chayev? So Amar Leichova, I'm sorry, Viditcha Mamigalech Lehun, Amar Leichova. So Rav Huna says, yeah, I know. In other words, the fact that my children walk around with bowl haircuts is not a problem. Why? Because my wife gave them the haircut. Now, just to be clear, by the way, what he's not doing is he's not saying, oh, don't worry, my wife violated the Isser. What he is obviously saying is that there's no Isser for my wife to do so. For reasons which we're going to explain. I'm going to explain it more in tomorrow's daf, not today's daf, but let's just at least get us going over here. So, Takbarun Chova Libanei. So now Rav Ada Bar Ava said something that he should not have said. And that is that, look, Chova's doing something which he shouldn't be doing, and Chova's going to be bearing her sons. Now he's saying it, the Rosh says it clearly, Tosa says it as well. And that is, it's a Shkaga Hayotze Milifnei HaShalit. In other words, sometimes you say some things which are abrasive, almost like a curse. It shouldn't have been said, but the fact that it came out of your mouth, so everything that we say is going to have weight to it. I know it's a hefty responsibility, but okay, we all have to be just simply more careful. I'm speaking to me about everything that we say and the words that come out of our mouth. So because Rav Ada Bar Ava said that regarding Choma, the Choma, by the way, I know it's a strange name, but Choma is the wife of Rav Huna, strange to us. So Choma is the wife of Rav Huna who gave the bowl haircuts to their children, to the children of Choma and Rav Huna, but because Rav Ada Bar Ava made such a comment, so kulo shnei de Rav Ada Bar Ava lo akim lezarei leRav Huna. Okay. So for the rest and the duration of while Rav Ada Bar Ava was alive, so that curse that he gave to Choma, and he didn't mean it as a curse, but still the fact that he said it, so none of the children of Choma survived while Rav Ada Bar Ava was alive. Okay, obviously tragedy. Tragic, not just for the obvious reasons, but even for the reasons of it wasn't even intended. But still, he said it. Okay. What we're going to do tomorrow, I'll save this for tomorrow, is that we're going to explain a lot better what is the position, Rav Huna, what is the position of Ada Bar Ava. Meaning, what is going on over here is that clearly there is a debate between Rav Huna and Rav Ada Bar Ava in terms of whether or not a woman, happens to be that in this particular case it was a wife of Rav Huna, but over here they're having a halachic debate. Whether a woman is allowed to give a child a bowl haircut. In other words, giving a bowl haircut is an iser in the Torah. Now, for an adult male, it's going to be asur min haTorah. For an adult female, it's going to be mutter legamre, meaning those are your two viewpoints. And it's now just going to be a question of whether or not a woman can give such a haircut to a minor. And obviously, Rav Huna and Rav Ada Bar Ava are debating the point. Rav Huna is of the position that she is allowed to do it. And Rav Ada Bar Ava's position we're going to make clear much more tomorrow. Meaning all we know is that he was objecting to Rav Huna, but under what grounds and on what basis he was rejecting. So please come back tomorrow. We're going to discuss it in much greater detail. This Tosfos over here, which in the beginning of tomorrow's daf, I'm going to give a summary of exactly where Rav Huna stands, where Rav Ada Bar Ava stands. And yes, I'll even speak about what is in fact going to be the halacha. Okay. Let's quickly review. Let's recap our daf today. We finished off the seventh parak today, and Rabbi Akiva says, doesn't make sense. Rabbi Akiva wanted to make a logical argument in that last Mishnah of the seventh parak of the Masechta, in which Rabbi Akiva wanted to say, look, if you're touching Etzem Kisaora, and the nose is going to be Megaleach, then for sure, if you're touching a Revi'ez Dam, so then the nose is going to be Megaleach. And Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer, or the Tanaim said to Rabbi Akiva, look, you can't do that. What did you do? You made a Kavachomer, but the Kavachomer is built on Halach LaMoshe Mitzinai. You can't do that. Kavachomers you can build off of Psukim in the Torah, but you can't build a Kavachomer based on where your starting point is Halach LaMoshe Mitzinai. And as the Gemara concluded, Etzem Kisaora, the fact that the Nazir's Megaleach, that's a Halach LaMoshe Mitzinai. We know it gives off to Tumas Oel, but so what? Meaning the seventh parak dealt with the fact that there are two levels of Tumas Oel. Level A, level B. Level A, Mishnah Memtes. Level B, Mishnah Nundalit. And Etzem Kisaora fits into level A, but that's a Halach LaMoshe Mitzinai. That's not, we don't see that in the Pesukim and Parshas Naso. And so therefore, when Rabbi Akiva wants to build a Kavachomer based on a Halach LaMoshe Mitzinai, that you can't do. Okay, that's the end of the seventh parak. And now in the eighth parak, we started today the eighth parak of the Masechta. And so what do we deal with today? Two basic points. Well, first we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that I have two Nazirim, and then you have a reporter who says, I saw it. I saw a Tumah land on one of the two of you. I just don't know which one of you the Tumah is. And now we have a problem because one of them is a Nazir Tumah and the other one's a Nazir Tahor. How does that get resolved vis-a-vis the Karbanos? So the Mishnah gave us a step-by-step instruction, a manual in terms of how to bring the Karbanos. In round one, the first 30 days, two sets of Karbanos, one for Nazir Tumah, the other Nazir Tahor, and just simply a Tanai. In round number two, so one set of Karbanos because one of them already finished, and the other one still needs to bring his carbon Nazir Tahor. So you'll bring one set of Nazir Tahor with the Tanai of whoever needs it, it's going to be applied to that individual. We dealt with two issues in today's daf. Issue number one, if the reporter is there reporting, so that's three people, that is now Safik Toma Bereshus HaRabim, and Sfeko should be Tahor. No, there should be no Toma whatsoever. So why don't we say that? So the Gemara's answer, which is an incomplete answer, is that, well, the reporter's reporting from a distance and he's not there. And therefore, it's only two people. And since it's only two people, so therefore, it is not Safek Tumah Bereshus HaRabim. Why do I say that's an incomplete answer? Because now, if it's two people, it's Safek Tumah Bereshus HaYachid. And therefore, Sfeko is Tameh. They both should be Tameh, right? So, as I pointed out, Tosus asked that question. Tosus gives an answer. I didn't go over Tosus today in terms of his answer. But that's that was point number one. And point number two on the Amud Beis is the following. And that is that at the conclusion of round number two, they're both going to do Giluach. To which the Gemara says, what? How can they both do Giluach at the end of round two? One of them already is finished with his Nazirus. So now taking a razor and shaving his head and face, so that's going to be an Isser in the Torah. How can both of them be shaving at the end of round number two? It's a strong question. And the only answer that Shmuel is ready to propose is, the Mishnah is talking about whether the Nazir in question was either a woman or it was a child, an under bar mitzvah aged boy. Shmuel, the Gemara notes that according to Shmuel, you can't argue that, well, we're not rounding off the corners, we're cutting off all the hair on the head, and therefore that's not a kafa. Because the Gemara says Shmuel is of the position, hakafa is kol harosh, is in fact considered a kafa. So the Gemara says Shmuel reject that answer. And because Shmuel just simply disagrees. And then what we started with today, and we're going to finish off tomorrow, is then the children of Rav Huna. The children of Rav Huna went around with a bowl haircut. In other words, somebody cut off the corners of their head, and Rav Huna said that, you know, that if you give a haircut to a child, you're going to be chayev. And meanwhile, his children are walking around with a bowl haircut. Mm-hmm. When Rav Adar Bar Ava made that point to him, so he said, yeah, but my wife gave the haircut, and therefore it's okay. And then the drama, in other words, then Rav Adar Bar Ava made a statement he shouldn't have made, and as a result of that, the ramifications, the children of Rav Huna died, and that part is tragic and beyond. But nevertheless, however, there obviously is a halachic discourse to be had over here. When we get back tomorrow, we'll go over exactly what that issue is.